You may be seated. Sometimes my preaching is evangelistic, sometimes it's apostolic, sometimes it's prophetic, sometimes I teach, and sometimes I preach. So I just worked on this thing, and the Lord, I thought I was through with my message, and I got up yesterday morning, and God put a whole nother ending on it. So I'm going to talk today about the state of our nation. I'm going to talk about where we are. And I'm going to talk about how to turn this nation around. So if you allow me to lay some foundation, I promise you I'll bring this thing home. Hallelujah. But if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Today is Father's Day. And once again, I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. And I want to talk to men today. And my subject is the influence of a godly father. The influence of a godly father. Hallelujah. America needs a few good men. You know, the Marine Corps has a saying, we need a few good men. Well, today, our nation, America needs a few good men. America needs some godly men. America needs some godly fathers, some men of courage, some men of commitment, some men that are faithful, men who will be godly examples to their family. And the Bible talks about the blessed man in Psalms 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man, the man that prospers, the man that leaves an indelible impression upon the next generation, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of the sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I love this. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at your neighbor and say, I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed and highly favored of God because I walk with the Most High God. I am blessed and highly favored of God. You see, the foundations that made America great and strong, such as morality, honesty, integrity, and godliness, they are being destroyed before our very eyes. Our economy has rebounded, but our educational system and our political system, they need a major overhaul. The political world has become more and more corrupted by ungodly men and ungodly women who promote their own agenda instead of the welfare of this nation. Open your eyes. The problems, they are real, and they are major issues as a nation that we must address. We can address them now. We can address them when our rights are gone. But I believe that the major problem in the American culture today is the absence of godly male leadership. Godly male leadership in the home and in this nation. Amen. America's foundations that made her strong, they're being destroyed. The evening news is filled with stories about politicians, educators, and even some clergymen who have thrown their morals to the wind. And as a result, our nation is reaping a whirlwind. Church, our nation needs a spiritual awakening. We need to return to biblical values and the things like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that made this nation great. Amen. My subject this morning, the influence of a godly father. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we love our nation. We love you. And God, we've lost some of our liberties. And there's a group of people that are trying to take away our constitutional rights. But Lord, our nation was founded upon biblical principles, upon the Bible. People came here, Lord, so they would have freedom of worship. And Father, we just praise you that we can gather together in this nation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we have freedoms. They're trying to take our freedoms, God, but I'm standing in this pulpit today with a clarion call to the nations, to this church, to this community, Lord, that we will return to biblical standards in Jesus' mighty name. I ask you to anoint me to preach this word you've given to me. And Lord, I ask you to give us a listening ear. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. President Donald J. Trump campaigned in 2016 on the theme, Make America Great Again. And against the opposition of many of our political leaders, he instituted some amazing policies that have helped make America great again. You may not like the man, but you've got to agree he has instituted some great policies. He has made some significant changes when it comes to freedom of religion as protected by our Constitution. A matter of fact, Pastor Robert Jeffries from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, who is a national voice, he said Donald Trump has done more for the church than any other president in modern history. He repealed the Johnson Amendments through executive order so that preachers like me, they can stand up and preach the truth from the pulpit without fear of losing a tax exemption. He named Jerusalem, Donald Trump did this, President Donald Trump, as the capital of Israel, and he moved our embassy to that city. He appointed two conservative, pro-life justices to the United States Supreme Court in America. Thank God for this. He has turned around some things, but more than anything else, church, to turn this nation around, we need a spiritual awakening to happen in this nation. And we need the influence of godly fathers to bring this to pass. The French diplomat, Alex de Tocqueville, in the mid-1800s, he searched our land. He was looking for the secret of America's greatness. And this is what he found, and I quote him, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great." End of quote. That principle, my friend, has not changed. And today, we are in serious trouble as a nation. Look at Proverbs 14:34. The Bible says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It's righteousness. That's what that Frenchman found out, that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. The secret of America's greatness was not in her factories. It was not in her farms. It was not in her armies. It was not in her economy. It was not in her resources. But the secret to America's greatness was in her God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The people of America had been transformed by the gospel, the preaching of the cross, and the blood of Jesus. My brother just said it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, 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 nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood, flows from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilt and shame. Lose all their guilt and shame. Lose all their guilt and shame. There is a fountain filled with blood, and you can lose all your guilt and shame. Somebody gonna praise God. Hallelujah. The Frenchman said, and I quote, "America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great." Church, as a nation, we have lost our goodness, our morality, and our Christian dignity. And we need to return to the Bible and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought about Ezekiel, the conditions of his day were much like the conditions in America today. A godly nation had grown sinful. A strong nation had become weak. People were flocking after idolatry, and they had forsaken God, and sin was openly endorsed. But look at what God did. Look at Ezekiel 22 and 30. God said, I sought for a man. Do you see that, men? God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. When God looks your way, does God find that man that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Are you concerned about your nation? Are you concerned about what's going on? Are you concerned about your little children and your grandchildren and the life that they could have if we stand up for our liberties and our rights? Look at America today. Sin is openly endorsed in our society. Sin is destroying our nation. And it's time for men to be men, to rise up and become godly men and take this nation back to God. Look at our political world today and look at the politicians who are candidates for the presidency of the United States of America. The far left endorses gay rights, the entire agenda, yet God calls that an abomination. We have a presidential candidate who kissed his male partner on national television. I don't want my little children and my grandchildren looking at anything like that. We have a mayor in Chicago, Illinois, who is a lesbian and proud of it and openly proclaims it. What a disgrace. They used to go into the closet and hide. They need to go back into the closet. And Christians need to come out of the closet. And they need to start proclaiming righteousness and goodness and God's mercy in this nation. You wonder why our little children are so confused today? Look at what they're teaching, that humanistic religious doctrine in our schools and all types of same-sex education and foolishness such as that. Joe Biden has flip-flopped on many issues, and he announced that when he becomes president, I'm quoting him, bow to the secular state, cheer and glorify same-sex intercourse and marriage, or spend time in jail. That's him, end of quote. Can you believe that a major voice and a major party in America would make such a statement as that just to get the popular vote? Can you believe such a thing? Yet it's happening. You know, these are, I'm going to list some of the Supreme Court changes that have taken place over the last 60 years. Removal of prayer from public education, 1962. Removal of the Bible from public education, 1963. A constitutional right to abort and kill little babies, 1973. Removal of the Ten Commandments from the public schools, 1980. A constitutional right to homosexual marriage, 2015. Can you see how gross and how much grosser they have gotten in return and deviating from biblical principles? And they've done all of this in the name of equal rights. Can you believe that? But where are the equal rights of those who believe that homosexual behavior is a sin as defined by the Bible? What gives these people with their humanistic religious doctrine and their secularism and their far left agenda, what gives them a right to redefine sexual behavior or sexual orientation as God has listed it in the Bible? God made normal people. God did not make homosexuals. God did not make lesbians. God created normal people, and it's the devil that deviates and tries to mess up everything and take people to a devil's hell. But who gives them the right to do that? You do, if you vote for them. Amen. So vote for the conservative party, which represents biblical principles and biblical values. The Bible is very clear when it comes to sexual sin, for those that are straight and for those that aren't. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. The Bible says, know you not, or don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, that's homosexuals and lesbians, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that is sodomy. That's what that is. Abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomy. And God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Abraham because of that very sexual sin, sodomy. What has happened to our nation? Why is there not a voice crying out against this corruption? Why are the pulpits of America not crying out against the ungodly agenda of one of the major political parties in America? I'm not going to mention the party because they're good people, good Christians represented in both our political parties. It's the platform of a particular party that's so corrupt. It's their platform. And I just listed some things that has happened. Listen to this. So I want to ask you, which party endorses same-sex marriage in their platform? Which party endorses abortion in their platform? Which party endorses the removal of prayer from public schools in their platform? Which party endorses removal of the Bible from public schools in their platform? Which party endorses the removal of the Ten Commandments from the public schools and the public squares in their platform? Which party endorses not supporting the nation of Israel in their platform? Which party made a disgraceful attempt to discredit Judge Brett Kavanaugh and keep him from becoming a justice in the United States Supreme Court because of his conservative values and his pro-life belief? What a mockery they made. Tried to pull up all kind of dirt, and now some of these same people are running for the presidency of the United States of America, the highest office in the land and the most influential voice in all of the earth. Amen. I don't need to mention that party because you already know the answer if you're breathing and if you have any idea about current events. So I encourage you, look at the platform and vote your convictions. And if you do, you will have to vote the Bible. Hallelujah. Wake up, America. Wake up, Christians in America. It's time to break the ties with secularism, humanism, and party loyalties, and vote the Bible and make America great again. Who can make America great again? The church can, if she will rise up in the anointing and in the fire. Let there be fire in the pulpits. Let the fire return to the pulpits. Let the glory return to the church. Let the glory come down so the sinners can be saved, so that the sick can be healed. This place is full of miracles because there is fire burning here on this altar. The Bible says the fire shall ever be upon the altar. It shall never go out. You have to remove those ashes, and you have to pray, and you have to preach, and you have to put some fire back on the altar. We've already had someone come up and give their heart to the Lord. The miracle of miracles, because there's fire in the house and there's fire on the altar. Go on, praise God. There's got to be some fire in the people too, not just in the preacher. Thank God the fire's here. Thank God we got some godly people that love the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a great challenge, but a few good men can meet any challenge. I found that out in the Marine Corps. Hallelujah. And fathers, you can change the course of history. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 7. It's in your bulletin today. The just man walketh in his integrity. I love this. His children are blessed after him. Look at that's beautiful. The just man, those who have been justified by faith, by the blood of Jesus, walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So you have an influence in what you do and the examples you set, men, and the principles you live by. They do matter. But the most important thing a father can do for his family is to surrender his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. For in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Walk with Jesus, and your life and your children's life and your children's children's life will be blessed. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. God has promised to bless your family if you will walk with him. Look at Isaiah 44 and 3. God said, if I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thy offspring. When I read that, I said, that's enough reason right there for any man to serve God. That God has promised that if I'll walk with him, he'll bless my children. He'll bless my grandchildren. God is a generational God. Look at this. Fathers, you have an influence. And God has promised to save your family if you will serve him with all your heart. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. Oh, I went away, but I came back. I felt the hand drawing me. I felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost calling me. I heard a voice, hallelujah, from my childhood that called me. The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, let me in. But, oh, the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. I'm too young, the child replied. I'll not yield today. And so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more he came and waited. In manhood's vigorous prime, he came but found no welcome. The merchant had no time, no time for true repentance, no time to stop and pray. And so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more he came and waited. The man was old and ill and hardly heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. Go leave me, he said. When I need thee, I'll cry. Then sinking on his pillow without a hope, he died. Today is the day of salvation, and you need to give your heart to Jesus. What a great thing to be born again of God's Spirit, and where there's no condemnation, and all the old things have passed away, and all things have become new because of the precious blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to provide salvation for the lost and to provide healing, praise God, for those that are sick, to provide for your every need. God is a good God, and he cares, and he loves you. God is a generational God. And fathers, if you will walk with the Lord, God will deal with your children. I know he will. Look at Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But look at this, for the promise, woo, is unto you and to your children, to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord himself shall call. What a promise from God that if I will believe, if I will serve the Lord, that God will deal with my children. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Go on, praise the Lord. Fathers, you have a tremendous influence in your family. Fathers, you have more influence than anyone else in your family. Listen to me. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do anything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's hero. You're the wisest of the wise. In his mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's a grown-up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fella who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. See, it's the father that helps set the man. It's the father that makes the woman realize, I'm a woman. I have dignity. And I know who I am. I'm not confused about who I am. I have a dad, and I have a father that taught me, that was a godly example. Oh, they may stray. People may go away. But training up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, I promise you, they'll not depart from it. They will come back. Glory to God. See, America's greatest need is a generation of godly fathers. The family is the social fabric of our society. And when it disintegrates, society disintegrates. I thought about Noah. This is where the Lord changed my whole sermon right here. Noah, the story of Noah. It's a great story. It's a story of a successful father who walked with God. Noah was the grandson of Methuselah. And, of course, everybody knows who Methuselah was because he was the oldest man that ever lived. Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, yet he died before his father died. His father didn't die. His father's name was Enoch. And look what the Bible says about Enoch, Genesis 5 and 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. He walked so close to God. It's a picture of the rapture. This church is going to be caught away from this sin-cursed world one day. But Enoch walked so close with God that one day God said, come on home to my house. We're closer to heaven than we are to earth now anyway. And so he walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. And that's going to happen. Oh, son of friend, let me tell you, the Lord's going to come in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. There is a hell to shun, and there's a heaven to gain, and don't count on making heaven your home if you've not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But there is a God who loves you. We call him our heavenly Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Can you pray that today? Let your will be done in my life, whatever you've purposed for me. Oh, we do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart, the Lord Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, and God wants you saved. God does not want you to perish. God does not want this nation to perish. God wants this nation to return to her biblical principles. Glory to God. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God. Methuselah walked with God. Lamech, Noah's father, walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Something happened in this family that caused the whole group of them to have faith. Hallelujah. Enoch was a man who walked with God in a time when there was great corruption upon the face of the earth. And man's wickedness became so great that the Bible says that it grieved God that he had made man. Now, Methuselah was still living when Noah was born. And I'm sure that he would tell the story over and over and over again about his godly father named Enoch, who walked with God. Even in a wicked and perverse generation, Enoch walked with God, and he walked so close to God that God took him. That's the rapture. See, the faith that was in Enoch's heart, it was transferred to Methuselah's heart, and then from generation to generation. And the story of how Enoch walked with God affected Noah. And so Noah decided, I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to serve that same God. Hallelujah. Never underestimate the influence of a godly father. The story of Noah is the story of a great father. And Noah's greatest accomplishment in life was his family's faith. He raised his family in a very, very difficult time. It was an age of wickedness, an age of great corruption, an age that was full of evil. That sounds like the day and age that we live in today, doesn't it? An age of wickedness, perversion, ungodliness, gross evil and darkness has covered this nation. Thank God for the church. See, our land is filled with corruption, with ungodliness. Look at the talk shows. Have you heard any major network say anything about the gay agenda? Have you heard them say anything negative about transvestites and all that crazy stuff that's going on, to have a drag queen that's teaching in the public libraries, stuff like that? What kind of confusion is that? God is not the author of confusion. It must be the devil. It's demon spirits, that's what it is. We need to wake up, church. Wake up. Matter of fact, the Bible says, arise and shine, thy day is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. God is trying to save this nation. We need some men and women that'll stand up and do their job, hallelujah. We need some heads at some major denominations that will stand up and say, don't vote for that ungodly crowd. It doesn't matter about their money. It doesn't matter about their influence. Vote the Bible, praise God. And let's take this nation back to God. Glory to God. See, our fathers have been given the responsibility by God to be the head of their home. I have a responsibility to my children. I have a responsibility to you to preach the everlasting gospel. I preached one sermon on hard-headed saints years ago, and people said, why doesn't he preach the gospel instead of preaching about politics? I am preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. You're hearing a clarion call from the heart of God today. Hallelujah. Our land is filled with ungodliness. Fathers, we've been given a great responsibility. And the father is to see that his children are brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And when the family disintegrates, guess what? Society disintegrates. The Bible asks a question. Look at this, Psalms 11 and 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We live in a permissive society, but God has a standard called holiness and righteousness. It's time for us to rise up and be who we are and not what the sign says outside. Hallelujah. We live in the sign age, you know, the sign of the fish. Used to, you could tell a Christian by the way they walked, and you could tell a Christian by the way they talked, and you could tell a Christian by the influence. I'm sure your neighbors know when you get up on Sunday morning, and if it's your pattern to go to church, they're sitting there watching you. Say, well, they're in their car, they're going to church, they're going to church. And guess what? When they hit those hard spots, I've got neighbors that have called me and said, I know you're a man of prayer. Will you pray for me? I'm in a great, great distressful situation right now. There are people watching you. They need you. And fathers, your children need you to guide them and lead them. Because when the family disintegrates, the society disintegrates. Sin is not what society says it is, by the way. Sin is not what you think sin is. But sin is what God's word says sin is. God created man in his own image. He blessed them and he told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That was his mandate to Adam and Eve. And when God had to destroy man with the flood because of his wickedness, look at what he told Noah. Genesis 9 and 1. God blessed Noah. In a wicked world. And his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. See, our laws say it's okay to abort and kill little babies. But God's law calls it sin. Yet we have killed millions of Americans, little babies, through the sacrifice of abortion. They serve the god called Molech, the god of the fire, and the crocodile gods back in the Old Testament. And they would sacrifice their little children. Demon spirits, demon worship going on. What else is that, an abortion, other than a demon driving somebody to take the life of a little baby? I'm a combat veteran, and I'm hard. God has softened me. I'll tell you one thing, in my meanest state as a Marine in combat, I could never have killed a little baby like that. Thank God I never got that way. What's wrong? How can anybody justify taking a little baby and killing that little child like that? Never giving that child an opportunity to grow up and be what God had purposed for that child to be. God's law said, thou shalt not kill. See, that's a higher law than the law of America. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Our society may endorse homosexuality and gay rights and same-sex marriage. And there's political division in this nation because of this. But God's law says for a man to lie with a man and for a woman to lie with a woman is an abomination. That's what God's law says about it. But sin is just openly endorsed in our society by the news media, by the movie industry, and by ungodly people. And we're living in an age of corruption and moral decay. The Bible says that. It said in the last days, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wake up, America. Wake up, church. God's giving a clarion call. Wake up. Get about the Father's business. We're living in an age that Jesus spoke of. Look at what Jesus said about the last days. Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came. I'm trying to wake some people up. Those watching by live stream, Facebook, those that go out to YouTube, wake up. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How will it be when Jesus returns? Just like it was in the days of Noah. That was a sexual revolution going on in Noah's day. That was lust, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. They were marrying and given in marriage, and divorce was the order of the day. They were eating and they were drinking. There was drunkenness and social permissiveness. People had turned away from God, and they were pleasure seekers, seeking to satisfy their own flesh instead of satisfy and walk with God. There was no fear or reverence for God in Noah's day. They mocked God. They mocked the word of God. And just like those people mocked Noah who preached righteousness, there are some people that will mock me. Some of them in the church that will mock me for preaching such a message as this. But I didn't come to tickle your ears, and I didn't come to please man. I come to preach the everlasting gospel and wake up people in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, God, let the fire of Pentecost fall. Let it fall in this church. Let it fall in this community. Let it fall in this city. Let it fall in this state. Let it fall in this nation. Let it fall around the world. We need God. Hallelujah. We need Holy Ghost fire to purge us and cleanse us once again. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. That was a great wickedness in Noah's day. So what are the ingredients of Noah's salvation? By the way, we won't have church tonight, so just let me preach a little bit. First of all, there were the works of the Holy Spirit in his life. He had heard somebody preach about God because his family was a family that served God. He had godly parents. And he began to seek God. And look at this. I love this. You love this, Brother Philip. Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man. And he decided that he was going to be righteous. And he had faith. Look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I hadn't seen it yet. Ain't got it yet. Hold on. Hallelujah. Just release your faith. It's on the way. The devil's the liar and the father of lies. Find God's word, what God's word says, and hold on. Your miracle is on the way. Somebody praise God. I said, glory. Your miracle is on the way. Hallelujah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, by which is by faith. Noah was a perfect man in his generation in that he had made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus. Christ has perfected forever those that are sanctified. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Noah was consistent in his devotion. He was consistent in his daily walk with God. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he witnessed to others. For 120 years, Noah preached, and he warned his neighbors of the wrath of God that was to come. He told others of the destruction of sin, and he pointed them to God. For 120 years, he preached to them and told them to repent and get right with God. He told him what God had said, that the earth would be destroyed by a flood. And they laughed at him and they mocked him and made fun of this man of God. Up to this point, it had never rained upon the face of the earth. Yes, here's this preacher saying, I have a message from God. And he was telling the people that the earth is going to be destroyed by a flood. And it had never rained. But he was a man that heard from God, and he was walking in faith. But the spirit of the age in which he lived, they rejected God, they mocked God, and they mocked God's messenger. But Noah continued to preach, and Noah continued to serve God. He had a responsibility to God. He had a responsibility to his family. He had a responsibility to others. God had chosen him to preach. Men, you have the same responsibility in your home. You are to pastor your home, men. Your children should know what it means to have family prayer and devotion. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 120 years without a single convert except for his family. Noah won his entire family because they saw his faithful walk with God, and they followed him. I believe it was Paul. No, I know it was Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Church, follow me as I follow Christ. Look at Genesis 7 and 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy household into the ark, for in thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Did Noah's life and his relationship with God, did it affect his family? Look at Genesis 7 and 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his wife's sons, with him unto the ark because of the waters of the flood. Noah's family were his only converts. And the secret to becoming a great father was he was a godly man, and it affected his entire family. What a sobering thought, men. The influence of a godly father. Maybe you didn't have that father, but there's a heavenly father who has watched over you. We have a gift. I don't want anybody to leave. We have a gift for all the fathers. But don't be moving. Please don't be moving right now. It's the most important time in this service. If there's anybody here that you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God brought you here because of the age that we live in. And God wants to wake the church up, and God wants to open the eyes of some sinners. It's important what you do with the message. God is not willing that any should perish. If you're watching today by any of the social media, if you're not a Christian, just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need to be saved. Forgive me of my sins. Oh Lord, come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. I receive you as my personal Savior. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hallelujah. Church, let's all stand. Let's come to the altar. We won't be having church tonight, but let's come and talk to God. Let's pray for this nation. And I'll be praying for the men. I'll be going by praying for those here. This is a special day, Father's Day. And I've delivered my heart to you today, the influence of a godly Father. We love you, Lord. Father, I pray for family. I pray for homes. I break the power of the devil in the name of Jesus, by the authority and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for this nation. And Lord, as we're gathered in this altar here, Lord, help families. Help them, God, to recognize that it's God that instituted the family. And God, help husbands and wives to love one another, to rekindle the flame, God, to realize that a husband and a wife and a family They're a gift from God and needs to be cherished. And everything needs to be done, oh Lord, while we have time to love one another. Because life is so brief and life, Lord, it has so many twists and so many turns. Help us to love with the love of God. We do hold the thought, the feeling, and the purposes of His heart, for we have the mind of Christ. Oh God, I pray for this nation. I pray for our nation, oh God. There's so much corruption, and Lord, the politicians that just want to vote, they're so ungodly, trying to destroy our nation from within. Oh God, you're looking at a few good men that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge for the land that you should not destroy it. Oh God, pour out your spirit upon America from sea to shining sea. Oh God, pour out your spirit, not wrath, oh God. God, forgive us, oh God, forgive us. Pour out your spirit, oh Lord. Save this great nation, God, that you raised up to blast the gospel to the four corners of this earth. I would be